Yeah, so most of my videos are actually just on the iPhone, like the newest iPhone. And but actually, most of my, all my green screen videos are just on an iPhone. Although I do have like a massive green screen, like it's my entire kitchen. It is my entire. It's like 10 feet by like 20 feet. It's just so huge.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to My Social Life. I'm your host, Jacob Kelly. As always, today's podcast is powered by Surf. And today in the podcast, we are joined by Corey Tunge, who has over 4 million followers on TikTok and over 2 million subscribers on YouTube. And I cannot be more excited to have you on the podcast today. Corey, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, man. I'm actually super excited about this. Anything Canada-wise, I love it.
Dude, 100%. I'm so glad to have a fellow Canadian on the podcast. You know, it used to be only Canadians. And then once I started doing them remotely, it was just like anyone from everywhere. So I love having fellow Canadians on the podcast. You're up in Montreal, right?
Yes, but I'm actually moving to Toronto in like a month and a half.
Dude, no way. Let me know. I literally just moved to Toronto like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, that's so sick. Yeah. No, me and my partner were buying a place.
That's awesome. Congrats. That's amazing.
Yeah, we're super excited. I'm actually super excited because there's nothing much. I don't know if you know, but in Montreal, there's not much content creation being done at all. Like, no one is here. So I'm like one of the only ones like left. And it's time to move to Toronto to meet up with all my friends.
That's awesome. So how did you, if there's not a lot of content creators in Montreal, what led to you starting?
Yo, I was so lucky. I mean, it's actually pretty much because of COVID. So like almost, I'd say like 90% of everyone knew this year, since the last year, it's ever since COVID started. I had a job. I was in charge of marketing for an Australian sports supplements company. And I was like, oh, well, I used to make videos when I was like 10 years old. Like, you know, like funny edited videos. And I'm like, I think I have the acting capabilities. So I just tried for fun. And then it took still a while. But then once I got into doing like gaming comedy skits, like really weird, really weird videos, then I was like, all right, it's working. Let's do it.
Oh, so what was so the tipping point for you then? Like, was the gaming content? Like, you used to make just other like regular type skits, but it was once you kind of narrowed down to gaming, the gaming niche, that's when things kind of start to take off.
Yeah, exactly. I used to do like relationship videos, like just funny with myself with a wig and like stuff like, you know, like who wants to be a millionaire, but like who wants to be like in a relationship? And it's like actually, I like, used to edit all those things in. It was a lot of fun. But then the day I remember I made one skit about Grand Theft Auto 5. And it just got like 3 million views. Like, but like, that's when I was like super small. And I'm like, holy cannoli. Okay. I got to do more of this. And then it just, you know, GTA just kept on getting bigger and bigger. And that's when I was like, all right, I got to buy costumes now. I got to buy like Minecraft, Fortnite, just Mario. So now I have like 60 different costumes and just, I'm just ready for anything.
Why did you know to expand it to those other games? You know, I see a lot of creators will pop off for one thing and they're not sure how to kind of expand outside of that. Like for you, gaming, like game to game is somewhat close, but still like for if a streamer, for example, jumps from one game to another, that can like alienate their whole audience. So how did you know which games to jump to that were still going to relate to the people watching your videos and you not try to jump too far where they stop watching?
Yeah, of course. So the first few games I always did were like the big four. They were like GTA, Minecraft, Among Us, and Fortnite. So those were like the four biggest games at the time of December 2020. And everything was just going so well. But then I did realize like some games were trending and some games weren't. So back then, if I tried to do anything Mario, it would get like 10% of the views. You know, like anything Pokemon also was like really like hit or miss. But now it's kind of fun because now I can pretty much, as long as I'm like the facial guy like there, you know, like I can pretty much do anything and it works pretty well.
And I guess for you, when it comes to game, like you can do whatever you want now, but even when you were kind of blowing up and you're trying to follow the trending games, the advantage for you over like a trending streamer is like when you're a streamer trying to get onto a new game, you got to get on it first and early so that people come to you. But for you, you could wait until the trend takes off. There is an audience around that game, regardless of who's watching it. And your skits are so unique to you that people will watch anyways. It's not like you're just playing the game so they can watch that anywhere else. That's cool for you. You can kind of wait for the trends to happen and then jump on them instead of having to like lead that trend.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's actually the best part because if you've seen like any of my trend videos, it's kind of fun because as soon as I know, like what I try to do every single week is I try to just see which trends are working, you know, like what the big players are doing. So like Call Me Chris, Brody, all the big boys in TikTok. And then I try to see if I can, if you think about it, I kind of destroy the trends. I never actually just do the trend and that's it, right? I always do like a reaction video then I do the trend, but then I always try to like interrupt myself while doing the trend also in the video. So it's just to add to more watch time and stuff like that. And I just love being able to recreate stories through trends. And ever since that, it's just been so fun because now if I know something's going to do well with Fortnite, well, I can like experiment it with like Assassin's Creed or Among Us or just like now pretty much anything, right? So it's kind of cool. Like even now I'm in like anime, so I have like Attack on Titans, Dragon Balls. I have like every suit of every Dragon Ball character that exists. So it's just fun being able to like go out and reach new audiences.
And so was that first video, that GTA, when that popped off for like 3 million likes, was that one like where you were recreating a trend or was that something else?
No, so I actually never used to do trends. Everything back when I started were original pieces. Everything, all the scripts, nothing was based on sounds at all. So that was just purely luck. And then I've only started doing trends since I would say December of last year. And that's when I've seen, yeah, a lot of growth. So I was at 1.1 million on TikTok in December. And then like January, I was already up to like 3 million. And then now it's sort of like a coasting up. But I did realize like utilizing trends and then, you know, being able to transition them into like different types of videos and different types of video games. That's when it's been really like a huge platform booster.
So when you're following a trend, how do you build depth with your audience? Because I feel like I hear there's people on both sides of this debate, as with most debates, where it's like, don't do any trends to build depth. But then people are saying, no, you got to do the trends because that helps expose you to your audience. So how do you, within a trend, build depth with your community?
Yeah, of course. So like I said before, it's like I never actually just do the trend and it's like it's done, right? So I just did one a few days ago. Actually the Keisha trend. And then even 2 days ago, like the leg lift transition trend. I don't know. I don't even know what these are called. I'm just like naming them anything. And it's sort of like I love interrupting myself in those trends. So it's not like a 7-second video and then that's it. You know, that's the trend and it's done. I love having myself in the background and questioning, you know, the main character. What are you doing? You know, like, why are you doing this? Or like, actually, I love like the hate comments because then I act myself as being a hater in my own trends. I'm like, why are you doing this? It's useless. And then the main character is like, no, touch this phone. And then they're both doing the trend. You know, it's just like sort of just always trying to be unique to everything I do. Even if it's just a basic trend, I will make it drag on like 30 seconds more, even though if that original one was just like 5 seconds long.
And so is it then within you interrupting yourself in these different elements that help increase the watch time? Because if you're increasing a trend by like 3-4x, like you got to make sure the retention on that video is really high. So is it just through those things where you're interrupting yourself that helps you maintain watch time?
Yeah. And also I'm pretty sure, I've never been diagnosed, but I'm pretty sure I have ADHD. So all these videos are like amazing for people who have like a very short attention span, because I film like for a basic trend video, maybe 30 different angles. So it's like nonstop, just cut, just nonstop forever. And including sound effects, sound designs, and all my little like whooshes I use. It's just made for pretty much certain that someone will watch it from the start to the end.
And so how long does it take you then from start to finish, from having the idea to posting a TikTok? How long does it take you for one video?
Yeah. So every day, one of my videos takes around 4 to 5 hours.
Wow.
So that's why it's not like just a basic, like, you know, film yourself and then boom, you're done. It's really because everything is green screened, right? So everything, I have to create the backgrounds, I have to create the HUDs. So I try to be authentic as possible to every single game, but then I try to like suss up everything I do. So like, let's say in Among Us, I'll have like the HUD instead of like whatever, how much ping is in the game. I'll put like 69 ping or 420 ping. Just, it's just like all these different little things I try to add in to every single game I do. So those HUDs are super authentic and they're actually all created by hand. So I am like Photoshopping everything possible to make it look exactly like the game. So that's why if ever somebody already has played Grand Theft Auto, or if somebody has already played like Minecraft, they'll be like, oh, that's the real health bar. But holy crap, it says 69 diamonds left. You know what I mean? So it's just like these little things that those diehard fans will love.
And so why, like, with sussing up your videos, as you say, like, is that just something for the diehard fans, or is that like, does that help increase like engagement? Because someone will see something like, whether like 69 diamonds left, they'll comment that, so that adds engagement, which when they're commenting on the video still playing, so that increases their like the watch time on the video. Like, is there more thought to it than that? Is there something to kind of service the diehard fans?
No, of course. Yeah. Well, it's actually sort of both. I've always loved Easter eggs in video games. So these are all like those little things that I've tried. So I remember a long time ago, I actually have a, you know, like Where's Waldo, like a Where's Waldo like outfit. I actually have one of those, and I used to put myself in my videos, like just very randomly, just middle of nowhere, just have myself pop out and see if anybody actually ever sees it. But it, like you said before, people will always comment if they see like the number 69 or 420 or stuff like that. Or even like in Halo, I'll put like 117 ammo left. It's all these little things I try to keep authentic to every game that just a whole bunch of people will be able to get. And like you said before, it does lead to a much higher watch time, because while they're commenting or while they're like hating on the number or whatever, they'll be still watching in the background.
Do you get a lot of comments for the framed picture of Ryan Reynolds you have?
Yeah, every time. So that's kind of funny, because like I know who's in charge of his TikTok account, and I'm begging them, like, please have me do any video with him. I will fly to Vancouver like right now. I'll pay for it all to do like a 5-second TikTok with him.
Do you have an idea locked and loaded already for that TikTok if and when it happens?
Oh, I know for sure, because like every time I do like that phone lift, he would just probably be there. And then that would be like the whole like video. And then I just move the phone and he's actually there. You know, I'd be so ready. I have like a 5-hour flight to him. I would have like 55 scripts written already.
Talk to me about that scripting process. Like, what does that look like for you when you're scripting a 30-second TikTok? Because it's not like in your videos, there's a lot of dialogue all the time. Sometimes there is, but more often than not, there's not a lot of dialogue. So what does a script look like for you?
Yeah, of course. So a lot of times, it depends actually what type of video. I'd say normally there's around like 4 to 5 like lines of script. But then sometimes, like you said before, there's just like weird sounds I make. So it's sort of like when I turn too fast, I go like, I make these like weird noises. But it's sort of like in my head, it's sort of like a mental whoosh. So, but then it sort of sounds cool. So my scripts, I would say they come to me as like in a vision. It's kind of weird to say. It's really weird. It can come anytime. Like it can be inside the shower or like while I'm eating or something. And then boof, I have a script inside my head. And it goes quite normal, I would say. If someone's not me, they wouldn't really understand the script, because it's so different, so weird. It's like cut to Corey face. And then it's like, I put a lot of emojis also in my scripts, so I know exactly what face I have to do for that scene. So that actually helps a lot. Like putting like, instead of putting like surprised face, I'll just put that emoji. And I'm like, you know, I know what to do specifically for that line.
Okay, so on top of just like the faces you need to make, you're putting in like the camera actions as well. You're putting in like what's happening in the background and everything too.
Yep, and also all the sounds. So all the sounds that I want playing at the same time. So it's say like cut to close up Corey face, and then it shows like emoji, like surprised emoji, and then it also shows like the background, and then I go through just so much details. I get sent over one of my scripts after, and it's like I don't know, like 500 words per script.
Wow. You don't know, do you have one like close, like not to read the full thing, but even just like the first couple lines of a script, like do you have one close by? That'd be cool.
Yeah. So like right now, like it's kind of funny. I'm trying to, my next few videos, I think I'm going to start creating is the gaming multiverse. So I want to try to bring different characters and then have them land into different games. So my next video, I think I want to do like Mortal Kombat and Minecraft. And then like Scorpion torches, like the pig and sheep. There's like random stuff like that. But let's take a look. So yeah, I have a whole bunch right now. Wait, Minecraft active strange. No, hose spin the phone. Okay, so I did the Keisha spin the phone trend today. So it was like, have phone recording me with phone. And it's like, it doesn't make any sense, but I'm talking about like have my phone recording me and I have my other phone in my hand. And then I say like looking left and right. So that's always like when I go like, you know, I look left and right. So if someone's like watching me, that says GTA logic at the top. So that's the title. Cop comes up, looks left and right and brings up phone. Guy walks into frame from far away. Then shows like weird face. The cop is there getting ready. Cut to in front of the guy. That's another trend and looks up. Then trend starts and the cop is so serious. Guy hits his face like... It's just like random stuff. It doesn't make any sense. But for some reason, while I'm doing it, I'm like, yep, check. It's all done. Check, 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 check.
Set functions one as a script, but also like a guide for you when you sit down to edit everything as well.
Exactly. So while I have Final Cut Pro on one side, I'll have like the script right there. So it's really easy after to grab everything. And the way I film it is I film all the parts for one character. And then I film all the parts for the other or second, third, fourth, fifth, tenth character. And then after, it's easy to just just grab all the clips, merge them all together in the right order, and then it's time to get the editing going.
Okay. So that even at that point, though, because you still have to probably go through and like cut every single time. It's like a different frame, right? So you have to like cut one angle for this guy, then go to the next guy, cut his first frame, kind of go back and forth between them. And then the editing starts. And so to do green screen, does that have to be done in After Effects, or can you do that in?
I use Final Cut Pro X for all, pretty much like 95% of everything, because I don't need hardcore effects, but for commercials I do. So that's when I do use After Effects. So like I did something for like Amazon Prime, and then I had to do it because like they wanted like this much quality, like production quality. So I was like, all right, I need to go hardcore.
And speaking of production quality, like your videos are very clean, like even just like the picture quality. Are you recording? Did I hear you say you record everything on your phone?
Yeah. So most of my videos are actually just on the iPhone, like the newest iPhone. And but actually most of all my green screen videos are just on an iPhone. Although I do have like a massive green screen. Like it's my entire kitchen. It is my entire, it's like 10 feet by like 20 feet. It's just so huge. And then I also have four super high powered light bulbs, like just blazing on me. So that's where you get most of the quality, is actually not really from the camera, but just making sure you have so much light on you.
And why do you film with your phone? Why don't you film? Because I know, because in some of your videos, like you have the cameraman series is one of your series. So you've got, I know you've got a DSLR camera there. It's like, why don't you use that one?
It's actually harder. So it's actually more tedious. It takes more time. So I'm like, so because I do a video every single day forever, like I haven't taken a break. Even like I was just on vacation, right? I still did a video every single day. And the iPhone makes it so easy to like airdrop, you know? And so what I do is once I finish up all my lines, I go in and I look which one I actually really do love. So I'll film like a part like five times with like different facial expressions, different speed, everything. And then I'll see after like which one I actually do enjoy the most. And then it's so easy on an iPhone to like just, you know, grab, cut, boom, save video, it's done. Like there's nothing else. You know, if I do use my Sony A7S, it's like, oh man, I have to like import everything. And then I have to get the dongle first, because like that camera only uses the new type of memory cards. Then it's like an extra stab. Then it's like, so it's like 100 gigs for one little video. But an iPhone, it just makes it so easy.
Do you know who JT Barnett is? Have you seen his videos on TikTok?
No, but for sure I think I've seen him. I just can't. I'm horrible with names.
No, all good. He's just a buddy of mine. He's got a couple hundred thousand followers, and he's put out some stuff recently about like he's big into iPhone only videography. And so I was recently at VidCon, I saw him there, and he hired someone to follow him around, like kind of like a D-Rock for Gary V. And he had him follow vertical iPhone video the whole thing. Cause then he's like, he's pushing like iPhone videography is like the thing now, and he wants to pioneer that. So I think everything you just said, like I'm going to send that to him, cause you're going to be like preaching to the choir. Like he's going to love that. Cause he's all about that. It's just how easy it is.
It also focuses so well on the character, or like the main focal point, when like, as you know, some like, even like the best DSLRs out there, sometimes it's not going to get you and then you're out of focus. But then I don't know. Right. Like I'm like 10 feet away on the green screen. So I've tried it. That's why I originally bought it. But then I was like, oh man, I hate this thing. So I'll just like, I don't know. I'm just using it for vlogs now. I'm pretty much like vlogging for my partner more. And then it's easier. If I'm like, you know, behind the camera, I can see what's going on.
No, absolutely. It makes sense. And do you also think too, like, there's a level of relatability with an iPhone? Like I've seen creators talk, I don't know if you know Isaiah Photo, like he also records with his phone, and he always preaches that like it's just more relatable if you use your phone. Like someone else can attain that image versus if you use a DSLR, it's not attainable to everyone else.
No, exactly. No, 100%. Because you can easily tell the difference in quality. But also in my videos, I'm just in green screen, right? So it never really showed that much of a big difference. Then like TikTok only just allowed the HD feature. But unless then on like YouTube, then you will so see it. Like you'll see it so fast because you can put it on TV and massive. But no, it's just so easy, man. It's just so good. You know, once I'm done, I grab all my clips, like bam, poof, airdrop on my folder into a Final Cut Pro. Because in the end, like I don't want to like do this like 20 hours of my day every day. So I try to be like as efficient as possible. If it's more efficient, then I'm going to go with that option.
And 4 to 5 hours, is that the norm? Like you said, that's all it usually takes. But are there days where videos take in 6, 7, 8 hours?
Yeah. Yeah. Ads, commercials, they're always longer. So it's always because they want more of a speech. They want, well, there's always revisions also. So it's always like more back and forth. But then luck, sometimes I'm so lucky. Like I made a video like 2 days ago. It took 10 minutes, you know, just like no green screen. That's what I've realized lately being on vacation is I can still make videos without green screens and it still does like relatively good. You know what I mean? So that's like my next transition, I think.
Is that a scary step for you though? Like to not have the green screen? Like you said, yes, it still performs relatively well, but like even so, like people might know you for the green screen. So is that still a scary step for you to take?
Oh yeah. Holy crap. It is. Because like, I remember some of the comments when I first started were like, holy crap, he's not inside a video game, you know? Or like, oh my God, there's no green screen. Like what's going on? And then what's weird is also like lately I've been trying to do not gaming related content and it still actually does really good. So like I did one in France in front of like the Eiffel Tower. It's like nothing gaming related, but it's just like me and Desi. And it just still got like a million views. I'm like, okay, as long as my facial expressions are there and it's like ADHD filled, you know, like every little cut, every little like same sound effects, it should relatively do the same.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Cause I think like you, to your point, like your facial expressions are very like unique to you. Like you're so expressive and like your sound effects are on point. Like where did you learn to make such expressive facial expressions and like your sound effects? Like you made a sound like 10 minutes ago. Were you talking about like the multiverse? You're like pulling a character out of a game. You're like, or something. And like the sound was just on point. It's like, where did you learn to do these sound effects with your mouth? Like, how did you figure out how to do this?
Yeah, dude, honestly, just, I think it's by watching a lot of Jim Carrey and Michael Myers, you know, like Austin Powers. They're like, the Scary Movie series. I get all these inspirations from like pretty much those three sources. So like, you know, Austin Powers, because he's like over the top, just like weird, pretty much like the original Suss, you know what I mean? And some of my videos are just like so inspired by those scenes. And then Jim Carrey through like all the facial expressions and Scary Movie, just because that again, that's like over the top, you know, like it just never stops being weirder and weirder. But you know, sound design, I actually like, I have videos of when I was 10 years old that I used to never want to present really in front of the class. So I would actually film myself and edit stuff for instead of oral presentations. So I actually used to put whooshes back then. For some reason, I just like the sound, like, you know, like between every scene, I just like it. And then for some, I think it actually helps having like the viewer look at it because then they're like, oh, you know, it's always like, it makes it feel so much more fast paced than what it is.
No, absolutely. Sound design is so key to videos and people underestimate how important it is. I think like you can have a lower quality video with high quality audio and it'll do better than a video with high quality video and low quality audio.
Oh yeah, 100%. But there's nothing that carries on the viewer on like the journey. You know what I mean? It would just sound weird.
Oh, absolutely. And I also like, I don't see that when I'm watching your videos. Like, I don't think Scary Movie, but now that you say that, that's going to be what I'm thinking of when I'm watching your videos. Like the average viewer may not see that, but knowing that now it's evident that's an inspiration. I think that's really cool.
I'm trying to remember, like, I'm remembering all my videos that like I did things based on that video, on that movie. And it's always like when I'm in love with myself in my videos. And it's like always like the guy's acting awkward. Then, you know, he comes back and he's like drinking this and then comes back and he's like sweating profoundly. You know what I mean? The next one, he's like eating pancakes or whatever. Like it just doesn't make any sense at all, but it's funny and it's weird. So that's why it always works well.
And how do you come up with these, like these funny, these weird, these interesting ideas every single day? Like, do you have a master list in your phone of all the videos you want to make? Or is it every morning you wake up and you're like, I need a video. Let me think. Like, what is your process for coming up with ideas look like?
Yeah, it's pretty much in the morning. Like, really? Yeah, because even if I try to write scripts the day before, I will probably wake up and I'll be like, oh, they suck. Or I'll be like, oh, there's a new trend. And then I'm really like a dog, I would say, like my personality. I'm really like, ooh, squirrel. You know what I mean? And I always keep on just thinking about like weirder things. And a lot of things are actually thought up on the spot. So in those videos where I need 10 different types of like scenes looking back at me, I will just think, oh, how weird can I get right now? I have a shaker bottle. Let's like pretend I'm shaking it. And then like, you know, like just go super quick. And that's what, like, through the cameraman videos, that's like stuff like that. I've used this so many times. And just a lot of times it's just in the spot. For some reason, it just happens.
So what are your tips then for consistent content creation? Because I feel like, because you, like you said, every single day, no breaks, not even on vacation, and you're uploading a video. What are your tips for people to be consistent? Because that's probably one of the hardest parts with being a creator. And you're doing it from scratch every single day. Is it just like extreme discipline on your part? Like, how are you able to create so consistently?
Yeah, so I think it does help a little bit. Like, I used to be a bodybuilder, so I did bodybuilding shows. And I'm so used to eating the same thing every day forever. And it's just give me chicken and rice. I'll be like happy. And I think it's disciplined me into like just everything else in life. That I'm just like, okay, I got to do this every single day. Like, it doesn't matter the views, doesn't matter the love or hate comments, doesn't matter like anything. I just want to pump out something. And it's sort of like a rewarding factor as well. But I remember when I was first starting, you know, there's always a point, there's always a starting point for everyone. So I didn't start off, you know, a million views right away. It's been a long process. I used to be happy with like 1,000. And then, you know, 2 months later, 10,000 was good. And then 2 months later, like 20,000. You know, it's just a slow and steady grind. But it's all about like, forget the views pretty much. Forget the love or hate comments. Just keep learning how to make your content so much better. And that's like the first thing. So I never studied video editing. I never studied acting. I never studied anything. I was in marketing. I was like a business major. But then one day, like during COVID, every single night for 4 hours, I would watch YouTube tutorials on how to edit. And that lasted for like 5 months. Like every single night, I would pass out to Final Cut Pro plugin edits, tutorials. And then I would just try to grab things I knew I could do quickly into my videos. So obviously I could create something so much better if I took 2 or 3 days, you know, to make a video. So I know some friends of mine like who take like 2 weeks to make a video. But in the end, it's still short form content. So the viewer won't really be able to tell, you know, like if something took 2 weeks or if it took 1 day, unless it's like really bad. But also like you don't want to be sort of seen to your community at once every 2 weeks, because it's a very fast paced environment, and it's better to just pump out something every single day. So you're always front of mind to everyone.
I love this conversation because to hear opposite sides, what about like, is there any concern for like overexposing yourself to people, like them seeing you too often where they start to get bored of you? Is that a concern? Like, should I got a guy named Julian Dory on Heroes of Podcast. He has a bunch of stuff on TikTok and YouTube Shorts, and he posts less because he doesn't want people to get bored of him and his clips. Like, is that a consideration at all?
No, because if ever you look at analytics behind all like short YouTube Shorts or TikTok, most of the time it's never really your audience that, you know, seeing your videos. It's always new people, you know? So it's quite rare that like over, I'd say like, I don't know, like maybe 20% are rewatching your video or seeing it or being pushed to it through the For You page. So that's why you're always being shown to like a brand new audience. So I really don't mind that at all. And the best thing that I've realized is through like my trend videos. Like I've done sometimes like Rez, like there's a trend for Rez. It's like the song. I did it maybe like 15 times in 15 different video games and almost pretty much the exact same script, just different like outcomes or stuff like that. And you still grow a lot. You know what I mean? Same with like Big and Chunky, Around the World. Oh my God. Hey baby, drop it down. That one, dude, I did it like 20 times. Like every costume I had, I did it in that video game. And I actually love it when you hit like a good trend, because it's, for me, that's like my type of vacation, because I'm like, cool, I know what I'm doing tomorrow. Fortnite, Around the World, boom, I'm done. Like to me, it's like a mental like day off. That's why I love it when like there's a really good trend. I'm like, yes, I have a week vacation.
So what makes a trend good enough that you can reuse it and remix it 20 different times?
Yeah. So how I always do it is I always do like reaction videos. And then if that does over, I'd say if it gets like between 5 and 10 million views, then I know like it's got potential. I'm like, all right, cool. We're good. And then, but then also that's the funniest thing is that I can also tell now, like, again, like before, the four biggest games, right? Like Minecraft, you know, Fortnite, Among Us, and GTA, those will always still get the same amount of views, like 5 to 10 million. But then once I go into like Halo, all the like sort of like, even though Halo is a huge game, on the socials, it's not as much. So like even like Mario, Pokemon, all that stuff, it will go like maybe just to 1 million view, but still, okay, it's still a million views. Still really darn good. Like, I don't mind.
I'm curious, like, how much of your kind of like your happiness is dictated by the views? Because you're talking about earlier how like 1,000 views used to be great, and then 2,000, and 10,000, 20,000, and now you're like a million's not bad. And it's like, how much of like your day to day like happiness? Like, if a video does 450,000, are you having like a down day because it didn't do very well?
Okay, so that's a huge difference between probably me with like everyone else I've like met is once I post a video, I don't look at it for 24 hours. Like, I'm gone. I'm done. Like, the second I am done that video for the day, it's a vacation. Like, I'm trying to work on something else. When like everyone I have met are like, you know, always looking back at their views or like their comments and stuff like that. But I really, I'm all the way until the next morning, I just never look at it. What I also do, bro, watch this. So I go on Safari. I don't even go inside the app. I hide it. I hide the video and I just look to make sure it's not banned. Because back then, like, I used to get like banned videos, like, because I had like tiny little like miniature guns, and it would get banned for like illegal goods. So that still stresses me out. That's the only thing that still stresses me out. But legit, like, I will like refresh. I'm like, oh, it's not banned. Cool. I didn't look at the views. I don't care about it anymore. I'll do that like once at night. I'm like, okay, cool. We're good.
And is that like, did you do that because you wanted to not become someone who has to check their views every time? Or is that just like, you talk about kind of having ADHD and stuff, like, just, I need to focus on something else. Like, why do you do that practice of not checking for 24 hours?
Yeah, it's more about mental health aspects. Yeah, I just don't want to be down because I know for a fact by the next morning, I'm already ready with my new idea. So then I'll look at the video, I take it the way it is. Then I'm like, well, it's all good because I have another script right now ready to go. But if, you know, you're so, you know, attached to the views, it's going to screw up your entire day. You know what I mean? And then you won't be able to think as clearly. You won't be able to think as like as happily. Because all my videos, right, are none of my videos are sad or depressing and stuff like that. So they need to have like happy thoughts always. So that's why like I'm just ready the next day. You know, it's a clean slate. And like you've slept over, you know what I mean? Like you've had like your rest, you're good. Because me, after like 5 hours of making a new video, oh man, dude, if it would do like bad, I'd be like, oh, I hate my life. Like, why did I waste it? Like, there was a glitch right now on TikTok that, like, I know, like, some views are just not getting. It's weird. It's happening right, like, it's legit right now. And that's why I'm just, like, creating content. But right now, I'm more pushing to YouTube Shorts while it is happening on that platform. So that's why it's fun to diversify across everything. The only one I haven't been able to get is Instagram, but I don't know.
Well, let's talk about YouTube Shorts for a minute, because you recently passed 2 million subs on YouTube, and that's like 99% of your content's the shorts, right? Not long form content?
Yeah, that's about to change.
Interesting. So you got some long form stuff planned.
Yeah. So now what I'm going to start doing, actually this week, I did my first script for a 2 minute long skit. So that's going to be like 2 minutes of ADHD.
Wow. And so why the decision to do a 2 minute skit? Like, why was that the long form jump for you? Cause which I'm intrigued. And I think that's a good idea. I just want to hear kind of thought process behind it. Cause for a lot of creators, I'm just looking kind of across the board, a creator to make a jump from short form to long form is very tough and very hard to do. I think you're doing it in a smart way by doing a 2 minute skit, but I wanted you to walk me through why you decided to make that your long form content.
Yeah. Well, I've tried to do like vlogs. I've tried to do, you know, like eating challenges and stuff like that. I mean, they still do kind of good, 67,000 views, like around 60K views, but I don't know, like, I'm just, man, to edit a vlog, bro, and like, I'm such a perfectionist. So every vlog would take me 30 hours. Cause if you've seen some of them, it's like, I put so much gaming material inside there. I cut every second. I am like going back and forth to every like clip possible. I'm going like, you know, I'm doing like foreshadowing. I'm doing like, you know, like reverse clips. Oh my God. And I tried hiring a few editors, but I just couldn't portray my type of video. So I was like, either I have to do all these. But so yeah, that's why now instead, I'd rather just do skits because it's what I'm used to. And also it's what all these 2 million people are used to seeing from me also. Like, as much as I would love to showcase, you know, like, hey, I'm going on vacation. You know what I mean? I would love to do that. But then it's not really what people have signed up for. You know, they signed up for like the ADHD fix. You know what I mean? And they want to see gaming stuff. They just want to be weirded out.
Absolutely. I think for you, like, it's going to come down to the thumbnail, right? Because like once people are in that skit, it's going to feel familiar. It's just getting them to get in that skit. Because in like a short where it just pops up on their feed, they got to make that decision to click on it.
Exactly. But I'm also wondering right now, should I make 2-minute skits vertical or horizontal? So that's like my next step. I'm going to test that out with 2 different videos. I'll see which one does better.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because you can post a full, are you going to post a full 2-minute skit on TikTok as well?
I'll do like a short little snippet of it. Because I don't think TikTok I would ever post. Because even though we are allowed to post over, you know, like X amount, I'm not sure. I'll see how that one goes.
Why is that? Because I feel like TikTok's pushing into long form, right? It's like, why would you not want to do that?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. Because I've tried doing like 40-second skits, 40-second like just clips, and it doesn't do as well because the retention is a lot longer. I think TikTok does prioritize a lot more like how much a viewer sees it through to the end. But it's also weird because I see like the analytics between TikTok and YouTube Shorts, and it's completely different. I feel like people on YouTube actually do want to watch almost any video fully. When on TikTok, it's a lot less because they're sort of brought up into that app, you know, and people from YouTube, they're sort of used to, you know, 10-minute long or at least over like 15 seconds. Because I can clearly see a difference that some of my videos on YouTube, I can see they have like 135% watch time over like 25 seconds. And then on TikTok, the exact same video would have like maybe like 40% or 50%.
That's so interesting. So are you saying like you have your videos that do well on TikTok don't do well on YouTube, and the ones that do well on YouTube don't do well on TikTok?
Oh yeah, it's a whole mix. It's never the same. That's so weird. It's so weird. Yeah, I know. It's so weird. Like one of my videos with Desi got like 60 million views on YouTube like 2 weeks ago, but then on TikTok it got like 500,000. So I'm like, I don't know. That's why it's kind of, sort of fun. That's why I want to work more sort of on my Instagram, because then it's like you have 3 chances of virality. Instead of just 2.
Why do you think Instagram hasn't hit yet for you? Because like clearly your content is good. Like it pops off on TikTok. It pops off. You just had 60 million views. That's a crazy number. Like, why do you think Instagram hasn't popped? What do you got to do to make it stick?
Oh man, I have no clue, I'll be honest. I just have to post more, I think. Yeah, because right now already, like I'm so happy with like TikTok and YouTube. I just need to get that extra like 10 minutes to like always post also on Instagram. But I don't know. Actually, like at one point on Instagram, for like 1 week, I grew like 10K followers. I'm like, yay, like the algorithm picked me up. Like it's go time. And then it's just like died back to like normal now. I'm like, damn it. And then, I have no clue what's going on that platform. I might even try like creating a brand new account and seeing what happens and reposting everything. But because this account like on Instagram is like 13 years old. It's like so old. So man, I don't know. Maybe the algorithm prioritizes like, you know, just people who are just into reels right now. But that would be the next step. But me personally, my next like evolutionary step in my career is actually into real life acting. So right now I'm like applying at auditions and stuff like that in Toronto to get into TV shows and movies for like Netflix and like Amazon Prime.
That's awesome. Why do you want to do that? Is that something you always wanted to do but never like thought you could? Or like, why is this the next move?
Yeah, well, I'm always going to still do content. That's easy. That's sort of like, you know, 4 hours a day, 5 hours a day. They would probably like shorten up though. But for me, it's just that next challenge, because I'm trying to see where else I could go into everything. Because my background is still business, right? So I'm like, should I get into real estate? Like, there has to be like an extra step, you know, for life. You can't just create content. Because at one point, you know, it will be like boring sort of for like, you know, like unless you start, you know, on a channel fully changing your whole entire content. At one point you have to find different steps to keep growing in life. And I think my next step is actually like mastering acting and then getting to TV shows.
That's exciting. And do you think like having this, the following will help you land gigs? Like that's what I've heard now is like a lot of producers and stuff, they look for your social media presence to see, because that's a factor that they use when getting actors on shows.
Yeah, that's weird, eh? Because so a year ago, it was not like that at all. It was like nobody, so the rule was, if ever you want to become an actor, don't become a content creator, because you've sort of like shown the world what type of acting you want to be in. You won't be malleable. But now all of a sudden, like last week, everyone wants people with a lot of following, even for just super basic roles. And I don't mind. I'll be like the best friend of someone, you know what I mean? And then it's just because that now they know, like, we can, you know, do those like funny videos, you know, like you record yourself and then you record like, hey, that's me. You know, it's like, boom, 10 million views. They'll know that you do show that TV show or that movie to a much larger audience.
And is it like, so from going from content creation to acting now, is it like a whole new skill set for you? Is there any skills that cross over that are going to help you with your acting?
Yeah. So I think memorization of the scripts will be good, but you do have to tone it down a lot in acting. So just everything, you know, from facial expressions to like the way you move your mouth and everything. Cause even on like TikTok, I tend to do a sort of like Bella Poarch, like, you know, I sort of like mouth it to the left. And because it looks good on like quick video, but then in real life, it would be so weird. Like imagine me talking like, just like always to the left. It just looks weird in a real like TV show. But other than that, also like I'm so used to being in a green screen. So I'm used to being in a fake world always. So while I'm filming stuff here, while I'm acting, I'm always sort of, it's kind of weird. Like when I'm actually like being recorded, you know, for one of my skits, I'm actually envisioning how that camera is seeing me the entire time. So I'm not really like presently there. I'm more like presently like the eye point from the iPhone. So I'm used to that already. So it's like, I'm sort of like used to being anywhere, but nowhere at the same time.
So it sounds like a lot of this with acting, it's going to be like a whole different mindset, a whole different shift, kind of starting from square one again. Is that tough for you? You know what I mean? Like you've spent the last, like you said, you started it around COVID. So we're 2.5 years into your content creation journey. Is it tough for you to be like, okay, I've built this thing. Now I'm going to go right back to the beginning again. Like, is that scary? Is that hard for you to do?
Nah, for me, it's fun. I love doing that. So not too long. Well, like 7 years ago, I like moved up and just moved to Australia, like permanently, just out of nowhere. And it was only supposed to be for 6 months, but it lasted like 5 years, like 4 years and a bit. But I love change and I love testing your limits. You know what I mean? So it keeps on I just need that extra step to feel creatively happy. Cause I could do videos every single day, but then at one point it's like, there's only so many videos that you can do. You know what I mean? Or also right now, like it's sort of weird in the world, like in the world of gaming, there's not many big games coming out anymore. You know what I mean? Like there's no more Minecraft, there's no more GTAs, there's no more like Fortnites. It's just, it's like even Halo, right? When it came out, it was so good. And then it sort of just really died off like almost like 2 months in. So it's like, I'm still waiting for that next big game to reinvigorate myself for gaming.
Why do you think that is with gaming? Is it because the internet is so fragmented now and everyone has their own little communities and little communities latch on to games and there isn't a game that services everybody? Is it because the games just aren't as good as they used to be? Like why are we having this problem?
Yeah, well, I think we've seen with a lot of games being like taken down. So like Cyberpunk 2077, I think a lot of gaming developers are sort of being rushed to create games. And that's causing just, you know, so many problems, so many times.
I watched a video recently about like video game marketing needs to change. And that's also part of the problem is like, cause they're still developing the game while they start marketing the game. And so what's being marketed is like marketing's vision of what this game is going to be. And now like the developers have to try to meet that vision, that marketing selling, which they're always going to oversell it because they're marketing. And so like it creates false expectations when you finally get in the game. Plus you talked about we're rushed. And so it's a whole thing with like just the whole ecosystem with gaming itself, like and how those games are marketed and created as it's a whole mess and it creates false expectations. So there's nothing that hits. Like I'm very interested to see GTA 6. And I think what's interesting is they've under-marketed it, right? Like they haven't been selling it like this crazy big, the next thing, because I think they're trying to keep the expectations low. So because they know people will buy it when it drops. And so they've kind of kept the expectations low, which is the opposite of what most games do.
Yeah, no, like Cyberpunk made it sound like it was going to be the most life-changing thing ever. And yeah, oh my God, dude. Oh, I remember I was like so ready also. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be so good. And what else? So many other games. Like, I don't know. There's no more sort of, I don't know. Like sort of like the golden era of gaming is sort of like gone away. But I do know it's going to come back one day. But it's like I have like posters here in front of me. And it's like all of the like Halo, Call of Duty. And, Battlefield. Oh, God. Oh no, man, Battlefield was supposed to be like so good. And then it just died instantly. I played it once. Then just next day I was like, oh, this is so bad. And then everyone else, you know, gave it such a bad review also. And it's sort of like you said before, it's like they market it to be like, you know, like I remember when first Battlefield 1 came out. Oh man, that was so good. It was so epic. And then this one came out also. And then I remember the trailer, like you said, marketing, the trailer for the new Battlefield. Oh, yo, they made it sound like it was going to be so good. The perfect music. Oh, and then it came out. It's like, boom, flops.
That's like, I don't remember when Watch Dogs first came out. I remember when they announced it. And like, and Watch Dogs isn't a bad game. This isn't the best example. But like when Watch Dogs first, like I remember when they first released gameplay at like E3, it looked like it was going to be the craziest game with the most unreal graphics. And like the final product was not that, but like, it's just more to this problem. But so you being a big gamer, a lot of your content's gaming, like what are some of your favorite games of all time?
So I love Halo. Like I have it tattooed on me. I absolutely love Halo, but again, like they sort of did the same thing this year. They sort of rushed it too fast because I remember they wanted to pump it out for the 20th anniversary of Xbox. So that's why they came out with it without like Forge, without co-op, with only like six maps or something. But then they it's been what, 6 months now, like 7 months, actually more like eight. And there's only, I think, two new maps and just new game modes. There's nothing really new. And like, damn, dude. Holy crap, there could have been like so much more, you know, being pumped out. Because nowadays, everyone's so used to TikTok. You know, everyone's so used to, you know, in and out, quick, fast-paced fun. But no one's going to wait 8 months anymore for a new DLC. You know what I mean? It's got to be like monthly new campaigns. And that's why I think Apex, Fortnite, like all those companies are doing so good. Because it's like every 2 weeks, there's like a new main character. There's a new map. There's a new event. There's new something that to keep the gamer attracted to the game.
No, 100%. I mean, I haven't like, I used not into gaming as much as I used to be. I used to be more addicted to buying games than playing them. I have like 100 games in a box behind me. I've played like 50 of them because I just kept buying them never having time to play them all. But I've been like addicted to FIFA for the last year. Like that's just been my game, like FIFA, except for The Last of Us. That's the one exception. That's like my favorite game of all time. Like that one I will always make time for, but not a lot else. Like I fell off the Call of Duty bandwagon. Like that was big for me growing up, like most people. But then like I think it was after Ghosts I fell off, and I had like it was, I don't know what it is. But have you ever thought about getting into gaming from like whether it be a mocap or stuff like that, where you like you're the actor in video games?
Yeah, well, also I've been trying to look for voiceover work, but in Canada, I mean Montreal, there's not that much, even though Ubisoft is here. It's like literally right beside my house. It's still normally more Toronto, Vancouver, or as you know, always LA. Everything is always in LA.
All like, roads in this industry lead to LA.
Man, and I don't know why, but it's always there. That's why I gotta do more like trips there, I think. Just in general, because everyone moves there. It's so weird. I don't want to move there because I do love Canada. I would move to Australia before because it's like sort of like a beachy, you know, like relaxation vibes. You have to go to LA sometimes.
Yeah, no, I was just there for the first time like a month ago, and it was
cool. For VidCon?
Yeah, for VidCon and some stuff. I was down there with the company doing some things, but yeah, mainly for VidCon, and it was cool. It was cool. But to your point, I like Canada. I don't think I have any intention of moving to LA right now. Big fan of Canada. I think I'll be staying here for a little while. But
no, same. I mean, I wish we didn't have winter, but other than that, we're good.
That's the one downside. But
yeah, no, other than that, we're good.
No, 100%. It's like, what is some of your advice then to somebody who's listening to this that wants to be one of those creators that becomes big enough that they get to move to LA? Like they want to grow, they can't figure it out. Like, what would you say to someone like that?
Yeah, of course. So first off, like believe in your content, but also be very like malleable. So be open to feedback. You know what I mean? So that's what I've always read. Like obviously there's hate comments, and there's actually like genuine comments in those hate comments as well. And just take them, you know, like just try to grow, try to learn, and try to become better every single day. And I think that's what a lot of people don't really get is there is a little bit of an investment, you know, in an iPhone. You know, let's say like to make your content HD. I would say the first thing is make sure it's like the best camera that you can get at that time. So don't go like get a debt of like 10 grand and get like a massive camera. But if you can get the newest iPhone, get it, because I've been doing it with just an iPhone. You know what I mean? And if you are interested in like, you know, green screen and special effects, you will have to get like After Effects or like Final Cut Pro X. There's a little bit of an investment, but just believe in your content and never stop learning. And like, that's something I'm still trying to do every single day. Is even though I've like sort of mastered green screen on a short scale form, there's so much more I know someone can teach me. Like, look at Zach King. Like, Zach King is like, oh, amazing. I almost applied to work with him like 2 months ago. But he had like an open application. And I'm like, oh, should I do it? But then it would sort of like slow my own stuff down. But just look up to your mentors, like look up to people who you want to be, and then try to become your own like little self, try to be a niche of that person. So I used to look at all of Zach King's videos, and I still do. And I try to use his like transitions, but in sort of like my videos, and try to really dumb it down because I don't have like, I don't have a huge warehouse or a team. But so never stop doing it. Be extremely consistent. So like you said before, you have to post every single day. Now, I would say don't believe those people who are like, you have to post 5 videos a day. You know, you've seen those videos, right? It's like, post 5 times and blah, blah, blah. No, okay, make 1 good video a day and just don't really think about the numbers and just believe in yourself. Then everything should go good as long as you're learning every day. But first thing, make sure it's crystal clear video. Because, you know, like also the algorithm, I'm pretty sure, you know, goes for crystal clear over if it's something's like very pixelated. You know what I mean?
I'm curious because when you're starting out and you're like, you got to learn every day, you got to find something to improve in your video. When you're starting out, that's easier to do because you're starting out. So you're obviously not as good. So I'm curious in your position today, like if I were to ask you, what's something that you would improve, you could improve in your video right now, what is something you would improve on?
I would say my special effects. But I need to figure out how to make them fast. So that would be the only thing. So if ever like there's ever a program that can make special effects really quickly, that's why I use websites like Footage Crate. I love Footage Crate. Oh my God. It has like 4K, you know, PNG special effects. It's just so ready. But for me, it would be that. And also, oh, I can't wait to move, I'll be honest, because once I move, then it's not going to be a kitchen anymore. Because I am not kidding. I am filming, like, there's my, like, sink. And then right after that is, like, a tripod aiming down the, like, mini hallway into my green screen. So my next step is actually getting a nicer studio. You know, like, a bigger studio. So I can actually, like, run and jump and stuff in green screen. Because right now it's so based on sort of, like, camera angles. And, like, 2 months ago I did a trend where I fully duct taped my entire ceiling all green. Because I had to do, like, an upside down shot, like the camera's on the floor, but then the top part has to be green screened out because I'm fake, right? So I'm like, holy crap. So it took like 3 hours to make my entire ceiling just purely green. And it's all stuff like that. I cannot wait to have a real production facility.
I can imagine. That'll be huge. It'll save you so much time. And like one thing I've been wanting to ask you throughout, it keeps coming up, is like obviously the amount of work that goes into videos, you're posting videos every day. Like we talked about mental health a little bit earlier. How do you, like, what's your relationship with burnout? Because obviously creating every day, like, you're going to need a break at some point. How do you get to that point where you can take a break?
Yeah, I've had a lot of burnouts, I think. Like, so many. But then every day I'm always like, no, keep pushing. You know, like, it's like a sort of like 300 Spartan, just keep grinding, keep going at it. But so what I've realized is my type of break is when I do a behind the scenes video, because that's really easy for me to just click all scenes, cancel effects, you know, re-export, and I'm like, cool, I'm done for the day. So that's when I feel like I am like I'm 0% creative, nothing's going on in my head. I'm like walking around for like 4 hours. I will probably just be like, cool, today I'm gonna do a behind the scenes. I'm gonna just forget about anything content and then just come back to it tomorrow. So it's really, and it's hard because as a content creator, pretty much you're living in your studio forever. You know what I mean? You're living in your area that you're filming in. So it's hard to just always turn off. And I would say I've probably burnt out like 10 times, like so many times. And even on vacations, it's not really a vacation because we're still going places to film. You know what I mean? So what we do is a good little trick we do on vacation is we'll take one day just to film like 4 or 5 videos. And then we're like, cool, we're done for 4 days. And then we're going to try to take another day, 4 to 5 videos, and then we try to do that. But it's easier said than done when I'm here, because here I can't do 5 videos in a day. It's going to be like burnout instant, because it's going to be like 30 hours of work. But also, like, I would say I've taken, I still have pneumonia. That's why I'm still coughing a little bit. I'm almost done the antibiotics, but I had to take like 2 days off this week or 1 day completely because I was like dying. And if that does happen, like, just don't freak out because, you know, everyone is still going to be there. It's not about being stressed. And I do see so many people always being stressed about either like posting every day or the numbers, followers, you know, like growth. But in the end, it's like we have to think about a long-term process to it. So even me right now, I'm like, cool, it's going really well now. I can't wait to see what it's like in 10 years. So it's more of a, let's just at least keep growing for over the next 10 years and try to see what I can do with that.
How do you make sure that as you grow, you don't become the bottleneck? Because right, you said you tried to work with editors, it didn't really work. Like, and now if you're adding in YouTube and you're going to be adding all this, and acting is going to take your time. Like, how do you make sure as you grow, you don't become the bottleneck that slows that growth?
Yeah, of course. So, well, the best thing about acting is I would probably just do a lot of behind the scenes of the shows. So right now, my next project is I'm trying to get into The Boys season 4. So because I love the show and I'm like, it's in Toronto, I know it. And I just found the casting agency also. Legit, like right before this show, I was like emailing them right now. I'm like, I want to be in it. I know when it's starting. I don't even want to get paid. Like, I just want to be in it right now. But it would be more of a transition between gaming videos into more real life. Because real life videos, bro, for me, it takes 90% less time because there's no effects. There's no background. There's no HUD. There's no anything really. You know what I mean? So that would be my transition. Would be instead of bottlenecking and to always trying to bring my setup to edit and everything, it would just be more to film more real life stuff with the people around me.
And you're on, and knowing that, and hearing you say that, you're excited to see what it'll be like in 10 years. Like, you know, you're working with a long-term mindset, so be patient in those 10 years.
Exactly. No, be patient because I see all those videos all the time on TikTok. You know, like, I grew 100,000 followers in a month. You know, it can happen to some people. You can grow like 10 million followers in a month. If you hit like, I know like so many people who've like, boom, viral hit, like, some of my friends, and then it's like it can't really last forever. You know, you got to really think long term. And I'm actually pretty happy that I've never had such a big viral hit because I'm sort of just growing slowly and steady with the same sort of community that appreciates my videos every day, instead of just like, you know, one massive video and then, you know, like a whole bunch of followers that who don't really know who you are.
That's a whole other conversation we could have we'll have to save it for another day. I want to be respectful of your time. I'm going to jump to my last question that I ask anyone at the end of every interview. So for this last question, I like to flip the script a little bit. So instead of me asking the question, it's you asking the question, but it's not to me. Pretend you have a crystal ball and you can ask this crystal ball any question and get the 100% honest answer. What is one question you want to know the answer to?
Ooh. Is that a question to myself?
Yeah, you ask the question. It could be about yourself. It could be about TikTok. It could be about the world. It could be about anything.
Oh man, for me, it would have to be about happiness because, so it's weird, right? So in Australia, I was 0% on social media, zero. I was just living by the beach. I was super, super happy. Then here, I'm still super happy, but then I'm doing so much work. You know what I mean? So I would love to see like my question. I don't know. It would have to be like in 10 years, are you still happy? You know what I mean? Because in the end, that's the point to life, is to be happy every single day, or try to be happy. You know, that's like removing. That's why I remove seeing the views every day, because I don't want to be stressed. You know, like my father just had like hardcore open heart surgery in December, and it really freaked us out. And I'm like, holy crap, I should not be stressed because at least I have my health. You know what I mean? So for me, it's pretty much like about happiness. Like, are you still going to be happy in 10 years? Like, if what you're doing right now in 10 years, would you still be happy doing it? And that would be my question for myself, dude.
That's a good question to ask. And I'm sorry to hear your dad to go through the heart surgery. I hope it went well.
Thank God.
But yeah. But I want to thank you so much, man, for taking time to come on the podcast. I want to give you the floor now. Where can the people find you? Plug anything and everything you got right now.
Yeah, of course. So obviously TikTok and YouTube, those are like my go-tos. At Corey Tunge, CoreyTonge. I also have like Twitch and stuff, but right now with like all the vacations, I'm like all over the place. But so as long as you're up there, and if you want a more personal, if you want to be able to talk to me, Instagram, that I'm always answering all my DMs and all my messages there. And it's more of a personal. That's why I like actually right now about my Instagram. It's more personal. you can actually talk to me. Because on the other ones, there's so many messages. I just can't keep up. But yeah, bro, sick. I love this. Canada.
Thank you, man. Yes, sir. I appreciate that. I'll make sure everything's linked in the show notes down below so people can find it. I want to thank you once again for taking time to come on the podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening, whether you've listened the entire way through or you only listen to bits and pieces. I really appreciate you for taking time to check this out. Do me a big favor, go and follow Corey. Like I said, everything will be linked in the show notes down below so you can find it. Like to follow me, you can find me everywhere on social media at the Jacob Kelly. Feel free to come and say hello. My DMs are always open. As always, today's podcast is powered by Surf. Thank you once again for listening. We'll talk soon.